Business Breakthrough Thursdays is a podcast for business owners, not just any business owner, but leaders who are not satisfied with their current levels of growth, productivity, or profitability. Leaders who are dedicated to taking their business to the next level. Leaders who want to break through. In this podcast, we'll interview breakthrough business owners, innovative CEOs, and thought leaders. People who are creating change for their businesses, their industry, and their community. Each episode will give you actionable ideas and strategies to help create your own breakthrough business. Please welcome your host, David Fionda.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Business Breakthrough Thursdays, a podcast where we interview interesting and informative leaders and business owners about some of the ways that they're pivoting and doing innovative things to drive new business growth and success. I'm your host, David Fionda, and today we are very, very fortunate to be joined by Kerry Sauls. Kerry helps struggling owners of small and mid-sized private companies reduce risk, maximize value in the new normal by pivoting to rebuild, reinvent, and reposition their businesses so they can make the right decisions to sell, grow, or hold on to them long term. Welcome, Kerry.
Thank you very much, Dave. It's great to be here.
Right. And you and I have had a lot of conversations, and we've got a lot of common interest about growing businesses. You've been helping folks grow their business and be more successful and building value for quite a long time. And I guess I want to focus our discussion around this whole concept of the scale-up roadmap. You know, the name of this podcast is, you know, how to scale up, a roadmap to scale up. A lot of businesses are looking for a lot of help today because they're struggling and trying to find their way. And I think this would be a great time and a great podcast to help them do that. So, you know, current economic conditions aside, obviously that's pretty obvious to everyone. What are some of the pain points associated with building a business?
First off, you have to look at your vision, plan, and forecast and fill in those blanks before you get started with any other decision making. And then you need to back that up with your finances, your funding, your cash flow, and your burn rate. Because if you start spending money or you continue spending money without knowing where you're trying to end up or where future cash is coming from, you'll be out of business before you really get ramped up or understand this new normal. The third one in this category is your team. Everyone's team has been decimated by COVID-19, and people are having to regroup and redesign who should be on their team, where are they going to work from, what's the purpose of everybody's role on the team. And you need to be sure that your team, your partners, your executives are the right people on the bus for this new normal, because culturally, your business has changed from being on-site, everyone seeing each other every day, to some people or maybe everyone being remote. And it's a totally different environment to be working in, and who works well on your team in that environment. The other two points here would be your competition. You need to not only know them inside out where they used to be in the old normal, but look at what they're doing in the new normal and what can you do that's far better than them, or don't go down that road. You can't afford in this environment to start something if you're not going to be able to be the leader, at least first, if not the premier opportunity. And then pricing. You can't position yourself as a commodity just to get in the market or just to have cash flow. That shortchanges you and your business long term. You need to be able to position something that is a premium. Maybe it's your product, but it could be your service, it could be your outcome, or it could be that you actually have proof. Therefore, you can command the premium pricing that you can afford to grow the business based on.
You talked a little bit about your team, and you talked a little bit about how your team is changing. You know, you mentioned in our discussions about the concept of an employee-powered culture of excellence. Can you explain what that means and why it's important to businesses that are scaling up?
Absolutely. When you start by building a culture that's aligned with people's values, that's going to lead your company to attracting the people who already have the values you want them to embody as part of your company. And when you do that, then they will immediately be so aligned with where you're taking the company that's where you asking them for their best and them delivering their best will lead to a culture of excellence, because everybody's already on the same page instead of competing with each other. The rules about working together, but more than that, it's about building the character that you want to imbue in your entire team, whether they're local or indeed they're working remote. There's one company I was in discussion with just a couple months ago that they have a 6-page list of the rules for everyone because it's a 100% remote company. And these are the rules. You will be in these meetings, but these meetings will only occur when absolutely necessary and limited to 15 minutes. These are the expectations of how you will work with people on a daily basis. These are where you're going to have your conversations, for example, on Slack. And this is where we'll have the meetings that we have to have on Zoom on this schedule. And they lay out all these rules, not just for their employees, but for anyone they're hiring and for all of their customers to see as well, that this is their SOP, their standard operating procedure. So that you want to have a culture of excellence, you want it to be inclusive of everybody so that everyone stays relevant and you're encouraging everyone to participate and you're empowering them with continuous improvement cycles so that they can actually help you improve on the improvements incrementally, always moving forward, instead of, oh, we did that and it's set in place, cast in stone. You're helping everyone to be in the mode of always improving, always striving for even higher levels of excellence. Even when you hit a rough patch, you can't let down on these core values and what you're striving for in what you want everyone to embody as the company's values. With everyone on board, this culture of excellence and the management practices that lead it will keep up your momentum regardless of the hiccups that this environment is giving us.
Thanks, Kerry. That's a great comment too. Without the right group of employees and without the right culture, nobody can get through some of these challenges. In an environment of uncertainty, understanding what works from other companies as best practices is pretty critical, right? You'd agree with that?
Yes.
What are the primary obstacles that you've seen from preventing business leaders from adopting some of these best management practices that work for a lot of other companies?
Sadly, too often I've seen, and I've written a white paper on this, it's the owner founder themselves, because they know their strengths, they may not know their weaknesses, and they don't know their blind spots. And when you assume you know something, and in fact it's a blind spot, it can come back to bite you in many ways you never anticipated. In addition, moving too fast on tight deadlines with a lean team, if you're prepared for that and you've practiced that in the past, that's great. But when this is the first time you're trying to institute all of those kind of standards, you don't have the team in place ready to do that because they've never rehearsed it. They haven't had a fire drill. So that can really make it difficult to deliver on tight deadlines with a lean team. The third one would be never learning best practices or standards, never mind training your leaders or your team on what those best practices and standards are. If this is the first time you're trying to institute them, you can't go fast. You really need to take baby steps, teaching everyone at every level of the company what that means for them in their position. And that in fact, by implementing these kinds of practices and standards, everybody's job will be clearer, easier, and smoother with less surprises. But that's a hiccup until you actually get it established, which does take time. It's not something you can do overnight. Sometimes your biggest obstacle is that you run out of time, or there is no time to think it through, or the fact that you had to furlough your entire team back in March, and some of them have gone on to find different jobs, and now there are gaps in your entire team of the resources and expertise and corporate intellectual property that you can't fill yet. So that becomes a challenge when you haven't set up a plan B or a substitute for any of these tasks or strengths within the company. That's something that you want to build, that depth. But it takes time. If you hadn't been doing it before, that could be a gap right now. And so it can be a barrier to where you want to go with your best practices when you still have to backfill on some of these things. Communicating the importance of best practices and management practices to your team is huge, especially right now as we're going through triage for every company around us. Communication is the key, not only among the executive team, but with the entire staff, and then to your customers, and then to the greater world in your marketing. Is communicating in many different ways frequently and keeping everybody informed. The more transparent you can be, even if it's to admit this is a problem that we have and I don't know the answer, but this is how we're approaching it, it's invaluable for giving you credibility and leadership credits among everyone. And a lot of it is for customers as well as employees is turning it around and always presenting that good communication in the model of WIFM. What's in it for me? What's in it for the listener? Why are you giving this information to the employees? Why are you giving this information to the customers? Communicating anything and everything as it evolves is fair, but the more you can share what you do know and how you're approaching it, then again, when we're talking about that excellence team helping to improve your whole process, they'll come on board and help you with the solutions. There's also that lack of accountability can be a real obstacle if you don't have these systems in place, because you have gaps as to who's doing what, what's on second, who's on first. All of those questions can be very confusing and therefore slow down what you're trying to deliver to the marketplace. And the biggest challenge is you may have some of these already, but they weren't standardized. They're not part of a standard operating procedure that everyone is following, that everybody can refer to, that is a documented system that you can track and measure who's responsible for this, by what deadline, what's the status. You need some sort of a management platform to make that happen. The tool that I use comes from ManageHub. It's called Lean Scaleup, and it provides that free management platform that I can share with people, because it gives that to any company so that they, even if they're a one-person company, they can start by eliminating those obstacles from day one as they're growing or as they're regrouping in this environment.
You know, Carrie, that's some great advice, but it sounds like a lot of work. So what are some of the challenges or what are some of the consequences if business owners decide to procrastinate and not be on top of this as well as they should be?
Well, I've had a mantra for years that procrastination is poison. I really believe that. It's just like the idea of commitment is power. A goal without a date is only a dream. Those are just ancillary ideas. But the idea is if you start procrastination as a daily habit, it's part of your habit as a leader, it becomes ingrained as part of the corporate culture. We were talking about the high standards you wanted for that corporate culture that you're instituting with everyone, even remotely. If procrastination is something that you embody, then the rest of the company feels they have permission to do that, which again prevents you from achieving all the benefits of actually doing anything on a lean schedule that is structured and accountable for everyone. There's a direct correlation between procrastination and productivity. So the question becomes, which do you want to inspire in your team? Which one do you want to see impacting your metrics? I don't think it's the procrastination. I think you really want to see more productivity from everyone. But that means you need to have these kind of systems in place to measure what's working so that you don't have people that are busy, but people who are actually getting results. And then the fact is that procrastination costs you money. That in itself should be the needle in your side telling you, we have to stop this. We have to fix this. I just wanted to give a couple examples that procrastination in sales means you're losing sales or you're missing forecasts. If you're missing forecasts, what does that tell your investors or your bankers about your leadership, about your management team strength? If you procrastinate in procurement, we already are facing delays that are out of our control. So when you add delays in product build and ship schedules that you can prevent, then you're delaying billing, you're delaying payment, actually impacting your cash flow so that you can count on it. If you procrastinate when it comes to giving employee feedback, my solution is give praise fast, give praise in public so it benefits everyone. If indeed you need to give correction, absolutely do it in private. More importantly, it can't wait for an annual review. You should be incorporating any feedback as part of training, encouragement, and motivation as a regular engagement with your team to encourage them so that they're actually moving forward and things are improving and getting fixed on a dime, like overnight, instead of waiting for a quarterly or annual review when it's history and it's too late to do anything. Procrastination and talking to your bankers and advisors really can be a death knell, because procrastination will build their distrust. Sharing even bad news quickly about your plan or what's going on because of COVID-19, but telling them at the same time, this is how we're addressing it, it's going to show your leadership and it will build their trust in you and allow them to go to their review board advocating for you, supporting you, so that they're not going to call your no. You also want them to be there when you really do need them on your side. And therefore, they will be there for you because you've kept them so well informed about what the challenges are, how you're addressing them, and your progress moving forward. That's being proactive instead of putting your head in the sands and procrastinating sharing bad news. And then instead of procrastinating on anything, put it on your list for today, or schedule it, or delegate it so it gets done. One of my rules about procrastination is tied to productivity, that if you can get it done in 5 minutes or less, do it now. If it will take more than 15 minutes, put it on today's schedule, even if it means you have to leave the office late. If it's going to take more time than that 15 minutes, schedule it. Maybe it goes on your schedule later this week. Maybe it needs time that gets blocked out next week. Or worst case, you realize it shouldn't be me doing it. And that's really a good case, really, for a leader. So you find and decide who it should be delegated to so it gets done. There are many ways you can eliminate procrastination very quickly.
Obviously, there, you know, people have to prioritize and make sure that the important things, you know, I always talk about Covey's four quadrants. And
oh, yeah.
Lots of people spend too much time focusing on what's urgent and not important, but they need to focus time on what's not urgent but important, and not procrastinating really helps that. You know, Carrie, one last question, and this has been really great, but how does a business owner make the leap from startup to scale up, or, you know, scale up to the next level, in your opinion?
Well, I want to tell you a story to back that up.
Sure.
I want to go back to 1987. That's when the United States Baldrige Performance Excellence Program, which is the United States Standard of Management Excellence, it was established by an act of Congress in 1987. Baldrige was established to encourage leaders to create high-performing organization. The Baldrige Act specifically identified mid-market and small businesses as the primary target audience for this program. Yet, it's been effective for large organizations that have implemented expensive, complex systems, and they do get great results following the Baldrige principles. And you'd recognize those systems. They're Six Sigma, Black Belt, Lean, many others. But they're costly and burdensome for startups and scaling mid-market businesses, so very impractical. And that's where the Baldrige Foundation partnered up with ManageHub to create a system and an online free platform to serve smaller businesses to get the same results, to achieve national and state level Baldrige awards for this kind of performance excellence that I've been talking about. And that's what's called Lean Scale Up. And why is that important? Because it translates the complex management theory that is the Baldrige Awards into a simple, practical management approach that is feasible even for a one-person business, even for a business as small as $100,000 in revenue, and yet it's just as effective for a multi-location, 1,000-person, $100 million operation. It works with you as you grow. So that's where I was talking about. It's lean startup to lean scale up because it grows with you. It's not something you outgrow ever. I'm very excited about it because it makes it easily accessible to these smaller organizations that Baldrige was intentioned for, designed for, giving them customizable tool sets and step-by-step implementation. The analogy is that in accounting, we have GAAP, the generally accepted accounting principles. What Lean Scale Up is proposing is that we have GAMP, generally accepted management principles, which have already been established by Congress. So why isn't every organization using them? Because they're out there. They already exist. Every organization's financial processes are regulated by GAAP. Organizations would be similarly benefited from adhering to these Baldrige-based Lean Scale Up principles. This is just one of the tools that I use with clients of all sizes, and I'm happy to give people the templates so that they can see it for themselves, and they can see even, I have an infographic that just outlines the whole thing and makes it really simple to understand, and all of that's free.
You know, Carrie, that's an excellent recommendation. When I worked for Raytheon as a contractor a few years ago, I did go through Six Sigma training, and at that corporate level, Six Sigma, it was like a 2-year training process to get a green belt. And that's really great advice for businesses, that they can avail themselves of these, you know, best practices and high-performing company, they can avail themselves of the same practices that high-performing companies like Raytheon use in their small business. And what we'll do is we'll post a blog article. You and I can collaborate and write a blog article that'll be posted on our blog with that information for our listeners. So that's great. Well, Kerry, this has been a really, really informative podcast. I really enjoyed, always enjoy talking with you. But more importantly, I really enjoy the whole concept of, you know, how, you know, the things that business owners have to pay attention to. And you and I have talked about this, about working on their business, not working in their business. You know, all the things we discussed today were really very much about, you know, steering the ship and looking on the horizon rather than looking at what's right in front of you or looking behind you, right? And this has been really, really informative. Again, we've had the pleasure of speaking today with Kerry Sauls. Kerry, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for some of the great suggestions you gave our listeners. And we look forward to hearing back from you very soon.
Thank you for having me, Dave. It's been a pleasure to be here and talk about this.